The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Now it's time for The Last Word on Health with Dr. Brian Higgins. Last week's piece that we did on hemochromatosis got an enormous response online. It's one of the most downloaded podcasts we've done in a long time. And today's topic is one that might be, to a certain extent, the flip side of hemochromatosis. Or is it? Anemia is what we're going to talk about. Is there a link, Dr. Brian Higgins, even on opposite directions?
You're exactly right. So anemia is, in a way, the opposite of hemochromatosis. So when we think of hemochromatosis, it's a condition where there's too much iron. Anemia is a condition that can be caused by too little iron. Now, there's lots of different types of anemias. And when we think of our blood, so our blood is made of plasma, which is the liquid. And in that liquid, there are lots of different cells that do lots of different things. But one of the most important cells is our red cells. And they have a molecule called hemoglobin that carries oxygen. So they bring all that oxygen that we breathe in through our lungs and are pumped around our heart to all our organs, who then use up the oxygen and send the blood cells without oxygen back to the lungs. And that cycle repeats. When those blood cells are reduced, are not working properly, we enter a state called anemia, where the blood just simply can't carry oxygen the way it should be able to do it. And one of the reasons that can happen is called iron deficiency anemia. And if we don't have enough iron, our bone marrow can't create those red cells, and we start to develop symptoms due to the lack of ability of carrying oxygen in the blood.
Okay, give us examples of the symptoms, so please.
So the biggest thing that people come in with is they're tired. So if you're not getting enough oxygen, you just don't have any energy. So people come in feeling tired, weak, they might be their mood might be a little bit low, and they might find they feel like they're getting really unfit, where they'll say, gosh, I could run up that stairs 6 months ago, but now I get really easily out of breath, and they look quite pale. Other rarer symptoms are things like, it's got a fancy name, it's called angular keloids, where the lips might start to crack, or people might get palpitations, brittle hair, or brittle nails. And very occasionally people can get very strange food cravings as their body's looking for iron. They start to get cravings for really odd stuff like soil, and that's especially common in pregnancy.
How dangerous can this be, though? Because if you are having difficulty breathing, or if you're not getting enough oxygen, as that condition worsens, could it be potentially fatal?
Absolutely. So as a body's ability to carry oxygen drops, at the early stages, we might not have any symptoms at all, because we'll adapt to it. We'll get used to it if it happens slowly. So if you have a chronic condition such as heavy periods, or maybe you're vegetarian and you're not supplementing your iron, what might happen is we'll slowly get a little bit more tired. If the anemia is a bit more severe, what will happen is the heart is simply not able to get that oxygen around to the body, and it can work so hard that it can start to fail. And that can be potentially fatal, but thankfully it's very, 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 very rare. And as anemia is very common, the most common symptoms people have are just fatigue and tiredness.
You started touching it, but expand a little bit more, please, on the causes of this.
So our red cells don't live for very long. So they're busy cells. So they don't last forever. They last for about 3 months. So we have to constantly replace those cells. Now, if you compound that with a reduced iron intake, or maybe you've increased iron demands like pregnancy, or maybe you're losing iron or losing blood from heavy periods, or you have maybe your gut, you've celiac disease and you have difficulty absorbing iron from your diet, as those red cells get lost and are excreted in the bowel, we just tend to run out and the body struggles to keep up the production. There are some rarer causes. Iron deficiency is the most common cause, but some people with maybe folic acid or vitamin B12 deficiency, bone marrow disease, or chronic illnesses such as kidney disease or inflammatory disorders can all develop anemia.
Okay, tell us about the diagnosis.
So thankfully, it's a very, very easy condition to diagnose. And there's two parts to really diagnosing anemia. One is the easiest bit, which is somebody comes to a GP and says, look, I'm feeling very tired. And we'll very commonly do what's called a full blood count, which is a test that measures somebody's hemoglobin and their amount of red cells. And we pretty much identify straight away, OK, you're anemic. Now, the second and almost the more important thing is finding out why somebody's anemic. We'll check their iron studies and we'll say, look, you might be iron deficient. And if they're not iron deficient, we'll look for the other causes like vitamin B12 deficiency or celiac disease or potentially other causes as appropriate. Now, sometimes if you're a premenopausal female and you've quite heavy periods, we might say, okay, look, we don't need to do any more investigations. Let's start an iron supplement and we'll recheck your bloods in about 3 months. And if your iron, your bloods have returned to normal, that's fine. For men, iron deficiency and anemia is a little bit less common. And or for women who are postmenopausal and they've stopped having regular periods, it's also much less common. So for men and postmenopausal women, we'll often go on and do additional tests as standard for anyone who presents with anemia.
Do you think, do a lot of people not get diagnosed though, because if it's fatigue that they're suffering from or breathlessness, they think it's something else or they don't think it's important enough to go to the doctor about?
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of people worldwide with iron deficiency anemia. So there's probably about 500 million people in the world who are suffering with iron deficiency anemia. And it's not normal to be tired all the time. So I always think if you're suffering with fatigue, you might actually just be tired. You might not be sleeping enough or you might be working too much. And do you know what? Neither of those things are good for you either. So if people are suffering with chronic fatigue, they really should attend their doctor. And it may not be anemia, but if it is anemia, it's a very easy thing to fix.
Yeah, tell us about the treatments, because I am interested in sort of the idea that you could be doing yourself damage if you're self-medicating here, given that only last week you were talking to us about having too much iron in your food and drink. And now are the treatments going to involve taking iron through certain food products or supplements?
Absolutely. So when you think of what we get our iron from, classically, we'll think of red meat, because that red meat is red because it has red cells in it. So we're pretty much eating hemoglobin. So we're replacing what we what we're losing. Fish has a lot of iron in it, and there's some vegetables with a lot of iron. But in general, vegetables don't have as much iron in them as, say, red meats do. So it's very important for people who are vegetarian to supplement their diet with iron. And that's generally the treatment for iron deficiency anemia without an underlying cause. We'll start people on a supplement. Now, there is very poor compliance in general with these iron supplements, simply because they can be really hard to take. They can be really constipating. And unfortunately, what will happen is I'll meet a patient who's iron deficient. I'll give them a prescription. I'll say, come back in 3 months and we'll retest the bloods. And they'll come back in 3 months and say, doc, I could not take those tablets. I felt really unwell with them. But what I'd say is we've loads of different types of supplements. We'll generally start with the cheapest ones because they're cheap and they're very effective. But there are other supplements which are slightly easier to absorb, but are often more expensive. So we won't prescribe them first off. So if you don't like the prescription, definitely ask your doctor for an alternative. Some people have difficulty absorbing iron. And in those cases, we might do something called an iron infusion, where we'll bring someone into hospital and we'll inject iron and replace their iron. And we might do that maybe once every 3 months or once a year as needed. And in cases like we mentioned earlier, where someone is very sick with their iron deficiency, who might be developing some heart failure or might be really decompensating or very, very weak from it, we might actually do a blood transfusion. And that's why it's very important for everyone, obviously, to, where possible, to be sure that we are kind of keeping up on our blood donations if we're able to with the Irish Blood Transfusion Service.
Dr. Brian Higgins, as ever, thank you for joining us from Galway today. We will put that up as a podcast if you missed any of it or if you want to go back and check any of the details. And as I said, we already have the hemochromatosis podcast from last week, which has had an enormous amount of interest shown by many, many listeners.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.